We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Well, hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving because, well, just like last weekend, all things are turning up New England Patriots. Welcome in to another NFL Sunday here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com. Anytime, anywhere, you can get us on the Odyssey app. My tight ends are here, Jermaine Wiggins, Christian Fourier alongside. No Keith today. We'll talk to Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston at 10 o'clock per usual. Our buddy Andy Hart of WEEI.com is in at 10:45. And boy, it feels like forever ago. It was last Thursday that the New England Patriots guys played their last game where they skunked the Falcons 25-0. And now coming off of a little mini bye, I guess. Isn't it weird how kind of truncated this schedule is, guys, where now you played a Thursday night game. Mm-hmm. You get a couple extra days to get ready for today's game.
Yeah.
Then it's going to be next Monday night against the Buffalo Bills. Then you get into your bye week, but you're back a day early because you're going to play on a Saturday night as well.
Against the Colts.
And that's the thing, Wiggs and Fourier, like, I don't know if all of these sort of little schedule quirks add up to an appropriate amount of rest, but I'm going to assume that the later in the year, the more days off you get, regardless of how they come, is a good thing.
Well, just give me my allotted days off, and I guess I'm happy with that. So you play on Sunday, and then a regular week would be, what, 6 days, and then you're back at it again. So I think when you look at, as long as they have that, now we know from the last time that they played, they've gotten more than that. They don't have the Sunday-Thursday thing no more. And I know, Christian, you're a big fan of playing on Thursday nights.
Put your mic on, and we'll be able to hear you. Press the red button.
Uh-oh.
Oh, there we go. Hang on.
There we go. Oh, my God. It's so tinny. What is wrong with this thing?
Look at that. Right.
Anyway, so
what? You got a bad rotator, but I know.
You saw me press it, though, right?
I did.
I pressed it hard.
I did.
Okay, so what I was going to say is, I love the short week.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more importantly, whenever you can break the monotony of the season is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Especially later in the season when everyone just needs a mental break from the mundaneness and the routine that is the NFL. Sunday game, Monday, Tuesday off. It just gets over and over and over. So you need something different to stimulate your brain, I think. So
right.
I love this schedule. Mm-hmm. I love it because it's coming at – and it also creates a four-week season for
yes.
you at the end. When it's all said and done, you say, guys – all right, playtime is over, randomness is over, 4 weeks, here we go.
Right.
Right? You got two crap teams, two good teams. So and it's during the most important time of the year. So, yeah, so you play on a Sunday, you have a long break, you play on a Monday, then you have a bye week, then you play on a Saturday, then you have four games. That, to me, especially for a guy like young players who get lost in the monotony of it, I remember when I was a rookie, Thanksgiving came around. I'm like, when is the end? When is it over?
Mm-hmm.
When do we go home for Thanksgiving? When does bowl practice start?
Bowl practice.
When are we going to Miami? Like, I mean, you start thinking about when are finals?
Right.
And then finally, you don't have it. It's just one long trip, man. And you're just – and then if you struggle, like, it's painful to sometimes to dig yourself out of it. That's why my thing with Mac with the whole rookie wall.
It's the hamster wheel.
It just – you got to get off.
Right.
You got to – just for a break. So to me – this was – so they're getting the benefit of a bye without even having a bye.
Right.
They're getting mental breaks without actually having their – so they have that in their bag.
Mm-hmm.
They have the bye week in the bag. I mean, think about it. Like, hey, not only do you have extra time to heal and recover, you have mental heal and recover, and then you actually have your bye week.
See, if I was coaching this team, I would look at it like, here's what we have. We need to focus on the next four games, but we're doing a two-week season and then another two-week season. Because to me, the next four games are the most important, right? So, and when you look at the game, so you look today at Tennessee, then you go, okay, The next game isn't until Monday night, so we got an extra day there. We just came off this kind of long week of the short Thursday night game, and that should have been my focus, is now we focus on these next four games, but as a two-week or two games at a time. All right, Tennessee, Buffalo. Then we got the bye week. Then our focus needs to be Colts, Bills again, because that to me, these next 4 weeks are going to tell you what this team really is and where they are in the mix, because the way the AFC is, it's wide open, but it's so close together that if you lose a game, now all of a sudden you go from like third to eighth, and then if you win a game, you go from eighth to third. It's just so tight.
So to your point, though, so the just the opposite could happen. I don't think it will, mm-hmm. but so 5 weeks ago, I was looking at, I'll say, I'm going to call it a five-week season.
Uh-huh.
I think they were 3-4 at the time. I'm like, listen, just finish 4-1. Finish 3-2.
Right.
Like that's a positive. You're a 500 team, and then you have like what, seven games left, and then you're sitting pretty. So, and then everybody's opinion of this team has changed in 5 weeks.
Right.
From going to what the hell, nobody can coach. These guys suck. They can't stop anybody. They can't make big plays. Suddenly they're the best team in the AFC.
Yeah.
Some people the conference. So it's amazing. Like it'll switch again. It could easily switch again. And I don't think it will,
because
I think there's enough evidence to show that like they've kind of figured it out at the lowest level. I think they figured it out. So worst case scenario, they're making the playoffs. Now what they do is different, but I think they're right smack dab where they need to be.
I would say this: they, based on the next, if they go 1-4, they might not make the playoffs. But I think
that's
the worst case scenario. For me, my best case scenario is you go 2-2 in these next four games. Now that puts you at 9 wins with 3 games left, right? That would be Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, Miami are the last two.
Jacksonville, Miami.
But and after the bye, you got Indy, Buffalo.
No, but after Buffalo,
okay,
you got Jacksonville, Miami, and there's one more other Scribini in there that I feel like I'm drawing a blank.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, is that it?
Yep, that's
okay,
it.
Okay, all right, so then you got Jacksonville and Miami. So if you go 2-2, that puts you at 9 wins, and then the expectations are you should win your last two, which would put you at 11 wins, mm-hmm. and that should make the playoffs.
But as a part of the issue, the beauty of this is that the expectations – have changed dramatically.
Oh yeah.
What's acceptable now, I think, is different than it was when the season started. Just make the playoffs. That was, hey, they're going to make the playoffs. I don't know if what type of damage they'll do when they get there, but I think this is a playoff team. Worst case scenario, no matter what. Now it's, no, you got to go to the AFC Championship game. You're better.
Wow.
I mean, do you not feel? I'm not saying that's what you feel.
Uh-huh.
Nationally, perspective-wise, the way people look at this team is it's the Empire, March of the Empire, and here comes Mac Jones, and, return of the – that all that crap. Like, people now have changed the narrative where the playoffs are not good enough. This is a Super Bowl contender. This is Patriots-Tampa Bay. This is like, the Patriots can beat the Kansas City Chiefs. The Patriots can beat anybody. They may host a playoff game. You guys don't feel that way?
No, see, because I feel like they have a get-out-of-jail-free card. And that's because Mac is a rookie. So I feel like I think a lot of expectations for this football team right now are they should make the playoffs, right? And I know that I think Ken Laird on Greg Hill's show said he would be disappointed if they didn't make the AFC Championship game. And I was like, no, I'm satisfied if they make the playoffs because I think they got the get out of jail free card in Mac Jones with him being a rookie. And now, whatever you get into the playoffs and wherever you go from there, to me, is just icing on the cake. Because at week four, I didn't think this team was a playoff team sitting there at 1-3. And now everything that they've been able to do, now I'm looking at it, all right, you are a playoff team. You're good enough to make noise. You're good enough to win the AFC. But if you don't, I think a lot of people are going to say it's a rookie quarterback. You got a rookie quarterback.
So you've seen all the AFC teams. You've seen what I think – if you're a fraud, you've been exposed as a fraud. If you're better than average, then I think that's been identified. Because all these, even the good teams will take some L's now and then. Even Tennessee lost to Houston and the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you kind of throw those out. But ultimately, you look at the makeup of the team. You go, listen, this is going to be a really good team. They're coached well. They have a good quarterback. They have a good philosophy as far as how they're what they want to be. So I think if you're gonna throw four teams out there,
uh-huh.
like a Baltimore, like a Tennessee, like a Chiefs, like a Patriots,
uh-huh.
maybe in the Colts. The Colts are a new player in there. To me, it's really flip a coin.
At this point in time,
anyone can beat anyone.
I don't know what you guys think. I think there's about 8 teams, maybe even 9 teams, and 10 teams in the AFC that are all legit. With the win by the Raiders, I wouldn't like say they're not a team.
It's another one. I would add them, too.
I would put the Chargers up there as well.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, you start to think about I'm not going to close the door on Cleveland just yet. But you start to look at the AFC and how it's kind of, you know, how it's situated right now. That's why I said, think about this. Buffalo is what? The 7th seed?
Buffalo right now actually leads the division because they had the win on
Thursday. Yeah, that's right.
The Patriots would have knocked them back down.
Right,
but to your point.
Right. So to my point is that when you look at the 9 team, the 10 team, and I don't have it in front of me, but that may be the Raiders, the Chargers, Cleveland, the Colts, like you brought up, after what the Colts did to the Bills, you throw them right into the mix. Tennessee, Buffalo. So I think everybody. That's why.
See, my thing, Wiggy, is like, so there's the one thing that's missing,
uh-huh.
and maybe it's Mahomes. I don't know, but
there isn't the,
I guess, the cream of the crop. Hey, you know, veteran quarterback, no matter what the circumstance, this guy will bring you back and he will win. Like a Brady, mm-hmm. like a Mahomes, but when they were good and consistent, so much right now, but they're getting there. Like a Peyton Manning. I don't feel like there's a quarterback in this conference right now that you can say, man, don't let him have the ball with a minute 30 left in the game. He'll come back and he'll beat you. I don't think they have that.
Well, I heard you guys talking about this on your show on Malonia and Malonia.
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 I'm trying Malonia. But I heard you guys talking about this, and you had Mac Jones as the third or fourth best quarterback. I think.
Yeah. It's sort of in the AFC.
In the AFC.
Yeah. If we're taking coaching and everything.
Yeah.
If we're including everything,
mm-hmm.
like he's one of the best situations. Like I've been searching for issues with this kid mm-hmm. for the past 8-9 weeks, and he's passed every single test, every single test. And to your point about him being a sidecar,
uh-huh.
I mean, it's basically all you're basically saying is that he's a game manager.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Which is listen, if you could find a rookie quarterback mm-hmm. to manage your high price business. This is which is if this was a cruise ship and you had a rookie captain, mm-hmm. you would say, listen, just don't crash the damn thing.
Right.
Okay. And then 90% of them would crash when they're trying to dock this thing at port. He's not doing it. All the passengers are safe. Everybody gets off and they get their loved ones.
Right.
He's not doing it. Well, you know, we don't get there as fast and it's not as sexy. You know, but everybody's alive.
Right. Right.
So that's
See, I even went one step further, and I call them a passenger, but I think about
– What I call – sidecar.
But that's,
I thought you said sidecar.
No, that's fine. But
I think you should use sidecar now.
But, no, here's what I will use, the analogy. You ever get on an airplane, there's the pilot, there's the co-pilot, and then there's the guy –
drink cart.
There's the guy who sits in the back in that little, like, booster seat in case.
Jump seat.
Yeah, so I think the defense is your pilot, your running game is your co-pilot, and then he's there – just in case every now and then the pilot or the co-pilot need to go to the bathroom.
See, but I also think that I agree with you. That's half the battle with rookie quarterbacks. So it's not an insult.
People take it as an insult. They take it as an insult.
My thing is I will add to that, and I will say if you need him to fly,
yes,
he can do it.
That's what I've said.
But, hey, we just don't need it right now. Right. But there's going to come a time where he's going to have to win you a game.
Right.
Well, I believe that you've seen examples of that during the regular season, but it wasn't to win the game. It was to close out the game. It was the game against the Chargers. It was the game against New Orleans that they actually lost. He did his job.
Right.
Hey, we need points. Okay, he did it. Hey, we need to keep the clock moving. He did it. We need 6 completions in a row. He did it. So that gets lost because there's nobody's charting it as far as its importance. But, yeah, I think he's got everything you need him to.
Well, we're talking about the sort of the landscape of the AFC, and the current number one seed in the AFC comes in today in the Tennessee Titans. And, of course, their head coach, Mike Vrabel, knows all about Gillette Stadium and the Patriots program. Bill Belichick was asked on the Greg Hill Show earlier this week, do you look forward to coaching against Mike Vrabel?
Well, Mike's done a great job at Tennessee, and I always had a lot of respect for Mike and certainly have a ton of respect for him when he was a position coach and as a head coach, for sure. So that'll be a big challenge, and Tennessee's, you know, obviously a good football team, one of the best teams in the league. you know, do our best to get ready and be ready to go on Sunday. But, you know, Mike does a great job. And other than when we play him, you know, I'm rooting for him, but not this week.
You'll be able to hear Bill Belichick tomorrow morning at 6:30 on the Greg Hill Show as a part of Patriots Monday. No A.J. Brown, who's been ruled out. He's put on IR for 3 weeks. No Julio Jones. You have no Derrick Henry. And Bill Belichick noted, Fourier, that Mike Vrabel was throwing bouquets the Patriots way this week.
Isn't that funny? I thought that was so freaking comical between these two. It's like, so here's Bill, who all we do is make fun of him for overselling every single team they play.
Johnny Hecker, dude.
Oh, yeah, he's a He's a weapon. You be careful. You know, and then sure enough, so what Vrabel does is, you know, he turns it around and he uses his same tactics against him. So Bill, being the wise old owl that he is, admits it. And then says, oh, you know, Mike sure is, you know, throwing all those bouquets out there at me. It's like it's such a spy versus spy mentality.
It's like Vrabel took a play right out of Belichick's playbook, and Bill goes, okay.
But isn't that funny?
He took that one right out of my playbook, and I know he did.
So I know other coaches have said the same thing about Bill and his team and his defense and his coordinators, and he's never mentioned those coaches about how complimentary they are. Mm-hmm. But for Vrabel, like, he knows that Vrabel is smirking.
Right,
he knows it. You know, so he has to at least, you know, admit that it's happening, you know, and just to me, it's freaking comical. Because I know Vrabel is sitting there just laughing right now because he knows that he's up against it.
Right.
He has all these guys that are out. He has all these guys that is hurt. And it's an easy sell for his team. Guys, like woe is me. So he's playing the woe is me card. Oh,
yep.
We can't do this. Oh, and then, but in the back, he's sitting there going, screw them. They got this. They can't do this. This guy doesn't trust you. So he's rallying the troops from within. And they're just, and Bill knows it because he does the same thing.
Right.
He does the exact same thing.
It's definitely, oh, there's no Derrick Henry. There's AJ's not playing.
How are we ever going to do it?
Guys, we can't sit. We're going to sit here in this team meeting and cry and lean on each other and say, hey, can you get me a tissue? Or we're going to go out there and we're going against a rookie quarterback. We know if we do what we do, he can't beat us. That's his mentality. That's what I believe he's saying in that team meeting room. But yet when he goes out to the rest of the world, and the public, it's the, you know what, man.
It's just so funny.
I'll tell you what, that rookie, that team, Bill's a great coach. It's all.
They're so
good. He doesn't look like a
rookie. I don't know how we're going to do
it, guys.
Look
at these other rookies, and then you see this guy, and it's just piling it on, right?
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
And then Bill's like, oh, you know. So I don't know why it's making me laugh so much because
because it is comical.
It is so comical because no one ever does it. So here Vrabel does it.
These are also the two guys who are standing across from each other during a game, smirking at each other and how they're circumventing punting rules.
Yeah,
right. And they're both trying not to hysterically laugh at each other.
I love it.
From across the field.
And they know that it's funny because Bill knows, like Mike, you sat in the meeting room with me when I did this.
Yes.
And Mike's sitting there going, Bill, I remember sitting in the meeting room with you. And so it's like, they know exactly what they're doing. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where you look at and you go, like you said, it is comical because you know exactly what, here's what they're saying to the public. But we know if you've been in that locker room and you've been in those meeting rooms, you really know what they're saying behind closed doors.
Yeah. So Bill passively aggressively kind of mentions it.
Right.
Just so Mike knows that, hey, I know what you're doing.
Right.
I think it's so fun. I think it's such a spy versus spy.
Right.
Like little mentality going on.
Mike, it's sunny out here. And, don't tell me it's raining when you're actually peeing on me.
Yeah, it's those two.
Well, and there would have normally been at least one person with perspective of who would have played with Mike Vrabel. And maybe by now that would have been Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nobody else on that roster now. It's aged to the point to where isn't anybody who remembers Vrabel in that way,
right.
Being the guy who would be sitting there taking notes, being like, yeah, I'm going to use this.
But I think in New England, the players that have been around Bill long enough,
they all know.
They know, like, exactly how Bill operates, so they know exactly when Vrabel goes and gives them, like, and Devin's going, like, say Devin McCourty, and Vrabel goes, oh, this guy's one of the best safeties in the league, you don't want to throw at him. Like, he knows exactly what Mike is saying to his team behind closed doors because he's been around Bill long enough to know, like, hey, we pump him up in the public perspective, and then behind closed doors, here's what we really think.
This is interesting. It really is. We're going to get into Mike Vrabel in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll talk about this game with Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. That's coming up at 10 o'clock. I also want to run by some superlatives or some superlatives by our two Super Bowl winning tight ends. We will get into the Patriots offense. And make sure you come by and see us if you're coming to the game today here at Gillette Stadium. We're at Howl at the Moon at Splitsville right here at Gillette Stadium. And NFL Sunday is sponsored by Ketchus Law Group, where you pay nothing unless they win at KetchusLaw.com. Zudy, build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zudy.com for details. The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass., and your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Let's head back to Brighton. Here's Scheim. He is ready to trend.
The exclusive home of Red Sox baseball. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by the VA New England Healthcare System. Are you a veteran? VA New England Healthcare provides state-of-the-art healthcare benefits to those who served our country. Call 844-VA-CARES and learn more about the benefits you earned and deserve. Call 844-VA-CARES. The Patriots take on the Titans this afternoon at Gillette Stadium. Kickoff for that game is at 1 o'clock. Titans wide receiver A.J. Brown is officially out for the game today. The Celtics are in Toronto. They face the Raptors tonight at 6. And the Bruins have the Canucks at the Garden tonight. Puck drop for that's at 7. Got a little Boston parlay action for you. All three teams to win, plus 290. So take a look at that. That's what's trending now on WEEI and
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Yeah.com.
NFL Sunday.
We're right back to it with Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keefe
on WEEI.
Here at Howl at the Moon, it's Splitsville and Patriot Place. Come say hi. We're getting you ready for the Patriots and the Tennessee Titans. That is the number one seed Tennessee Titans. We focused a lot on the players Tennessee doesn't have on offense. No A.J. Brown, no Julio Jones, no Derrick Henry. But it's the Patriots offense that has to match up against a, well, we'll get the thoughts of our tight ends on the Titans defense. Mac Jones is on each and every Patriots Monday with Merlone and Fourier. And Mac Jones talked about something that I think has been developing the past couple of weeks, and that is an offensive identity.
We have a great offense that, you know, has a lot of work to do in a lot of areas, and we're not satisfied where we're at. We've done a good job running the ball, and we can do a better job with the turnovers, and a lot of that starts with me to not throw it to the other team. So but I think our identity is just, it really starts with practice too, is when we have a good week of practice, that's when it shows up in the game. So, you know, in the game, we run the ball hard and our receivers make efficient plays, and it is what it is. And we just kind of keep stacking up good performances.
Mac will join the MFers tomorrow at 2:30. Wiggs, has this offense found an identity?
I think they've had an identity since day one. I don't know why everybody feels like they have it. Their identity is they run the football. And like Mac said, and I'll even give Mac credit, he doesn't really turn the football over. He doesn't make a ton of mistakes. He's very smart, and it's about the efficiency of the offense in the passing game. Offensively, you know, run the football. You have two really good running backs. Your offensive line is starting to kind of find their identity, and everybody's plugging into the positions that they're supposed to that they're supposed to be in. And Mac, just when you're called on to make plays in the passing game, I see Josh McDaniels does a good job. Quick play action, maybe a little 10-yard curl route. Ball comes out quick. If they open things up, hitch routes. Ball comes out quick. I think Christian brought up the best point is that we are going to see that one game when we're going to need to see this passing game be able to go down the field and win a football game, or get you in, you know, field goal range and have to do that. Or if you're down by, let's say, 10 or 14, come back and get you back in the game. Now, we've kind of seen him do it like, at, like Christian, you brought this point up, which I thought was good. Like, we kind of seen him do it, like, in situations. but we haven't seen him like need to do that because defensively they've been so well and they ran the football.
Yeah,
well.
So I feel like they did it against the Chargers. He did it against the Saints. If the defense holds, Matt gets the ball back. They were down by 8. They needed a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. But if they get the ball back, I think he goes down and scores. He never got the opportunity to do it, but he did. He brought them within 8. So the identity-wise, isn't it always funny? It's like, so whenever he mentions himself screwing up, like he chuckles, he's like he's got this weird, like nervous laugh
yeah.
when he references his own errors or his own mistakes. He's like, look, I got to stop throwing the ball away to the other team. It's like, dude, you're a psycho.
Yeah, he doesn't really do that, though. I think he's kind of like,
it's weird, though. Yeah, he's just a weird whole personality.
Yeah, he's definitely like.
Got to like psychoanalyze
him. I would love to hang with him away from the team and football, like, and I don't even like, I'm talking about let's go out, get some drinks, and I want to see what the real Mac Jones, you know what I mean? Like the guy that you get to see when you're hanging out at a friend's house, whether you're, you know, over there gambling or just shooting the ish, and how is he really after he's got a few, you know, what do you think he's drinking? Wild turkey?
Man, I don't know if he is drinking, but so think about it. So I was teasing, I actually got some heat for this. Because he came on our show and he, you know, we got this Nick Saban sound
uh-huh.
from his weekly press conference down in Alabama talking about how they nicknamed him John McEnroe and their biggest challenge was getting the tennis mentality out of Mac Jones.
Okay,
which is an individual sport and it's lots of highs, lots of lows, lots of tantrums, mm-hmm. especially for kids. You know, that ball was in. Nothing goes right. They start slamming their racket.
And quickly, for those who don't know, tennis was really the first sport of Mac Jones.
And both his parents played tennis.
Go. Okay.
And he does have that John McEnroe because you watch him sometimes when there was a bad play in the Atlanta game, and he just, like, he went John McEnroe, and he's like, you know.
So he's literally having this Spalding from, you know, Caddyshack, like, you know, tantrum, like, I want this.
Or, right.
Like, he gets what he wants. If he doesn't get what he wants, he has a fit. So, Nick Saban was saying, listen, Nick Saban couldn't even see the play. No, Nick Saban couldn't see how the play ended. All he could see was Mac Jones's body language.
Right.
And based on Mac Jones's body language, he could tell if it was a completion or an incompletion.
Right.
And he's like, listen, dude. You got to stop doing this. You're affecting the whole team. Everybody's watching you.
Right.
You know, have a conniption, having a tantrum like a child. I'm exaggerating a little bit, right? But it was obvious so much that they nicknamed him John McEnroe.
And I could see why, though.
And his Pop Warner coach nicknamed him the same thing.
Right. Because
Fitzy talked to his Pop Warner coach.
Right.
And his Pop Warner coach
said the exact same thing.
But we're going back to his childhood, which went all the way through high school into college.
And it's still going on in the pros.
And it's not as bad.
Not as bad, but you still
but
see
you
it.
You can see it in you him. See, he works on he, it, Wiggy. He wants to sit there and go, up. I just see Josh say, stop holding your breath.
Right.
Stop holding your breath.
Stop with the John McEnroe. Stop with the ball.
I'm telling you, stop it.
And you can see, he starts hitting himself on the sideline. Then we know there's a problem.
Stupid. Stop hitting yourself.
But you could see it. There was a play, and like you said, he's kind of he's controlling himself a little bit. But there's plenty of times there was a play in the Atlanta game, and it was just you could see he was like, you know, like a kid who had just struck out in Little League.
Yeah.
And he's like getting ready to cry, and I felt like Josh McDaniels was going to have to come out to the 50-yard line and go, Mac, we'll get ice cream after this.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Let it go, buddy.
Let it go. And those emotions, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask, because in terms of developing an offensive identity, a lot of people do take the cues from the quarterback. And for a period of time, there was one here, as great as he was, who if he made a bad play, the first thing he'd do is hang his head. And the shoulders would slump,
mm-hmm.
and he'd sit on the sidelines, or he'd go to the sidelines and dog cuss somebody if need be. So is it more of the quarterback kind of is who he is, and you learn to adapt around him because he's so important? Because there were times with Brady where he'd run 50 yards down the field to give somebody a hug, but then if he threw an interception, would also stand there and throw his hands in the air when it was going back the other way.
Do you think, though, okay, so let's compare and contrast the two.
All right.
Okay, because I would say that Brady had more anger attached to his emotions.
Towards others
yes,
or towards himself?
Towards others, towards himself and towards the situation. Like, there was more – I felt there was more anger. Like, he was angry about it, like, pissed off about it, which – and as opposed to Mac, which I think is more
– pouty.
You know, like, I'm gonna hold my, to me, it's I think it's subtle, I know, but I do think there is a difference, at least right now, because Brady was never nicknamed, you know, John McEnroe, which everybody identifies with a guy yelling and screaming, complaining that he didn't get his way.
Right.
Like, I didn't get what I wanted. Right. I wanted the sprinkles. Right. I didn't want chocolate fudge.
Right.
Like, and he throws the ice cream on the ground.
I wanted a PlayStation 4, not
you
the
suck,
Xbox.
You suck, Mom.
Right. What is this? I didn't want the Xbox. I said PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Take this back, Santa.
Good luck finding a 5, by
so
the way.
I think – I do – that's why I was asking you compare and contrast the two. I think they're extremely different.
Right.
I do. I just think they're different. And I do think the emotional thing is something that he's have to handle. So we sit there and go, what would it be like to go hang out with him? I think it'd be boring.
I know.
Yeah. I think it'd be boring.
I think this guy's a wise ass deep down. I really do. The fact that he was willing to talk about D's nuts from Saban, right?
Right.
And you had now Damian Harris, who we tried to ask a funny question once, and he about hung up on us with the whole, hey, do you know your practice squad teammates and stuff like that? Whereas a Mac, I feel like he would kind of either laugh it off a little bit. Like you mentioned the goofy kind of, which is, it's almost what it is. Like to me, whenever I hear him do the, yeah, they had the thing on at Patriots on Twitter, and they would bring up the players and be like, describe him. When it was Devin McCourty, it was old man. And then it was Matt Slater, even older man. And he was like doing the goofy giggle. I still feel like,
but that's
there's
him
like
as
a 21-year-old frat guy. In
right,
him
that's
still.
Him. As, that's why I said I would love to hang out with him, or I would love to.
You'd
know,
be in bed at 9 o'clock.
Well,
yeah, leave at 5.
Or maybe I would like to know people that it's a, hey, what's Mac really like? None of this BS of like him, you know, in the facilities. I'm talking about he's going out with the fellas on a Saturday night, and is he somebody that's going to get wild? Is he somebody who's one of those guys you're going to have to drag him out of the club boots first because he's going to be completely, you know, the white girl wasted? What is Mac Jones really like?
I don't think he's like that.
Or is he just,
you know,
or is he the guy
the
that stands there
bring
and goes like,
Trulies into this.
Yeah,
now.
But is he really?
He brings his own snacks into the movie theater.
Or are you
very frugal?
Christian,
listen, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, exactly.
But are you right, Christian? Or is he the guy like, you're like, all right, this guy, I'm ready to go. I want to get
he's
home.
A, you know what it is? To me, he's the friend you want to have because he's the designated driver.
He's loyal. He's dependable.
He's probably a bad idea.
Right.
We should probably leave. No, man, get off me. He's the guy holding
he's
you
a,
back.
He's the guy
he's who's the holdback guy.
He's going to jump in the middle of the fight and say, no, let's break this up.
He's the holdback guy.
He's the holdback guy.
Well, because here's the thing, too. There's no
wait.
Don't you think there's no way that guy would have survived 4 years at Alabama working hard and waiting his turn if there wasn't something from his personality that wasn't endearing to other people? Like, to get those guys to be able to – I know everybody's goal at Alabama is to go play in the NFL.
Right.
But if he was, you know, if he was either that boring or couldn't connect with people –
But you could still be
by the
boring
time
and
he's,
connect, though.
But I guess if you're that good – but, you know, then
but I think it's more about how the guys look at you.
There's going to be something to the dude.
I think it's how a guy looks at you as a teammate. There were plenty of guys that I respected and I liked, and they were different, right? So, you know, maybe they didn't really go out. They didn't drink. They didn't really hang out. And there was nothing wrong with that, but you respected them as players and you knew, okay. But I'm saying then there's always the group of guys that you know you hang out with and you go, okay, I can hang out with this guy because we kind of all like the same thing. And I'm wondering, I think Mac one of those guys where, hey, everybody in Alabama respected him, but he wasn't the guy that you knew was going to be at the frat party and just, you know, hanging from the chandelier.
Well, so that was me. Probably you too. My thing is like, so I think the key is like he's a perfectionist.
Yeah.
So with a perfectionist, they don't allow room for error. Like everything's got to be perfect. So when it isn't perfect and the puzzle piece doesn't fit just right, you know, they have a conniption. They lose their mind because they want it to be perfect. So that's why in the beginning of the season, I was like, whoa, dude, you have got to lighten up. Like, it's too long of a season. It's never going to be perfect. You have to allow a huge room for error because you'll drive yourself freaking nuts.
Right.
And you're not long for this business if that's the way you think.
Right.
And Brady,
so,
would,
and even the players are like, listen, we've been trying to lighten him up. Mm-hmm. You know, Matthew Judon's talking about, I keep trying to engage him and he won't talk to me.
Right, right.
And everybody's going out of the way to talk to this guy.
Right, and everybody goes compare and contrast to Brady. Brady was the guy that would be hanging from the chandelier.
Yeah.
Like, so I
but people didn't know that, though.
Well, but I mean, but,
like the teammates knew.
The teammates knew.
But that, I think that, for a lot of people, the perception of Mac and Brady publicly aren't that far
but I'm,
off.
But I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about his teammates. I wonder what his teammates and what the real Mac Jones is, and from the teammates' perspective.
Yeah, a lot of offensive linemen got some second, thirds, and fourths hanging out with Brady back in the day.
Terry Reed.
And well, yeah. I think Lonnie Paxton.
No,
Lonnie Paxton was the biggest beneficiary.
Oh, I'm
if I
sure.
Were
He's like one of those sucker fish
of the way it was.
Yeah, the shark.
There you go,
just
man.
Scraps.
Hey, don't forget it is
still
Patriots
food.
Monday tomorrow.
Stuck on the back of the shock.
Bill Belichick will join the Greg Hill Show tomorrow morning. Lawrence Guy with Gresham Keefe at around 11:30. Mac Jones and Maloney and Fourier. That is at 2:30. We are at Howl at the Moon of Splitsville here at Patriot Place, getting you ready for the Patriots and some version of the Tennessee Titans. Patriots have some injury dings as well. We'll get you clued in on that. But up next, could the New England Patriots have the Defensive Player of the Year, the Offensive and Defensive Rookie of the Year, and the Coach of the Year all on the same team? That's next. This is NFL Sunday.
We're right back to NFL Sunday
with Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keith on WEEI.
Just short of the 18-yard line. Jones, deep drop. He throws over the middle. Wide open. Catch made. Aguilar cuts upfield, and he's in! Touchdown!
Herbert gesturing with his right hand, summoning Keenan Allen in motion to the right. It's a fake handoff to Jackson. Herbert in trouble. Scrambles left. He's dragged down for a sack. At the 31-yard line, Matthew Judon.
With a block, and then he was just inhaled by the rookie out of Alabama, Christian Barmore, on the Patriot defensive line.
Mack wide open throws. He's got Aguilar. Touchdown, New England.
Brady, look at it. And there is Judon again, the most impressive of the free agent pickups to this point.
Herbert, sacked, flagged down. Barmore, first man there. Matthew Judon gets in on the act as well.
Touchdown! A strike to Bourne. Mac Jones is dealing.
Good little piece of business put together right there by Bill Spazeroski, otherwise known as Spaz. And that really sums up where we're going, boys. The superlatives, the awards were... I hate the 17-game season. We're now 6 weeks away, really seven with the bye for the Patriots before the end of this NFL season. But I think, guys, we have Matt Judon, a legitimate Defensive Player of the Year candidate. Mm-hmm. Mac Jones right now is the favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Christian Barmore is in the conversation for Defensive Rookie of the Year. And then there's Bill Belichick. And, boys, you both played for this guy. And... let's say the Patriots end up, I don't know, 10, 11, maybe dare we even say 12 wins.
Uh-huh.
They could get the number one seed. Is this a year that Bill Belichick deserves Coach of the Year honors?
Yeah, I believe so, because if he's able to get them to be first, second, or even a third, you know, the third seed in the AFC based on everything that he has going on with, you know, new guys and rookie quarterback and, you know, last season with Cam Newton to now a new season with Mac Jones, I think by far he's the best. He should be Coach of the Year. I don't even think it's a question.
Honestly, I think if Mac wins Offensive Rookie of the Year, mm-hmm. it actually helps Belichick
right.
in winning Coach of the Year.
And even if Judon, say like Judon is a finalist for, you know, Defensive Player of the Year, I think that helps him as well. You're probably going to have three of those guys are going to win. Maybe Judon, he makes a push. So I would say Bill and Mac, definite. Barmore, it's probably going to be tough with the kid Micah Parsons down in Dallas because he's balling his butt off. And Judon's right in the mix. And if the team's good, I mean, who's ahead of him? Maybe Myles Garrett's having a good year, T.J. Watt, but he's banged up a little bit. So, yeah, you might be able to make
the point. So how do you look at the Coach of the Year? Because I feel like, you know, Bill's kind of like Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan every year should have won the MVP. Always.
Right.
Every year he's the best player, but sure enough, Karl Malone won it 1 year. Steve Nash won it 1 year. It was, you know, random guys. Maybe it wasn't Steve Nash, but, you know, random guys won it because they just had a really good year And, you know, Michael Jordan didn't have an unbelievable year, but every year he should be the MVP of the league. He's always the best player. So what has to happen for Bill to win it?
See, I think it's different than Jordan. See, here's the difference with Jordan.
He's always, would you say he's always the best coach?
It's more like Phil Jackson.
No. But see, here's the difference with Jordan or even Phil Jackson. I don't think Jordan never.
It's Charles Barkley that won another year.
Jordan never was on a team that the year before they didn't make the playoffs, right? So Jordan was always on one of the better
teams.
But
he's always the best player.
Right. But think about this, right? Bill would be like a Phil Jackson. Imagine a Phil Jackson Jordan-less team, and then all of a sudden that team isn't very good the following year, and then the year after that, he's got them right back to where they were when Michael Jordan was there. I think that's the difference with Bill. Last year, they were in the mix throughout the year, but they weren't a very good football team. Now he then took a rookie quarterback, so it'd be like Phil Jackson taking, you know, a lottery player and turning this team around to the days of what it was like when they were Jordan, because there are people out there, analysts, saying that this team should go to the Super Bowl, not just make the playoffs. So if you're telling me Bill Belichick is being able to coach a team that expectations are, through a lot of national football analysts, that they're a Super Bowl contender, they're hands
down
coach of the year.
He's there for 20 years. They won nine or whatever, eight, six Super Bowls. He should have been coach of the year every single time he did that.
Right, but he always had Brady.
But he's got Brady, and they feel like the deck is stacked in his favor. So now, I'm trying to think of, like, who's – so – couple things you have to exceed expectations,
okay.
Right?
Which they have,
right? So check mark. You have to have a. What do you have to do?
You got
to
have.
Well, hold on. So throw some names out there.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Cliff Kingsbury with Arizona. Has Cliff Kingsbury done a better job at 9-2 coaching his football team than Bill Belichick has this year?
Well, but hold on. He's. You would sit there and say, look at his record. And people will give him a head start, a lead against Bill.
Yeah, but I would say look at his roster compared to Bill's, and look at his quarterback situation. He had now Kyler Murray. I believe this is Kyler Murray's second year. So I would give him the nod. Defensively, they were a pretty good defense last year. DeAndre Hopkins, they got some talent. So I would say not that he's not doing a good job in Arizona, but I think just what Bill's working with is.
That's a good comp.
How about LaFleur in Green Bay?
No, because you got.
Considering he's dealing with Rodgers.
He's got one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
It's like 2019 Brady here behind the scenes.
No, but you got one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers, I think, is having a really good year this year.
Who did have COVID. And they had to manage missing
and
a game.
And that's why Bill didn't get many, because Brady would be MVP.
Sean McDermott, you have him in there?
Well, look, I was just looking in the NFC. There's nobody else that jumps out unless people want to go with McVay with the Rams, and I don't.
No.
Here's
Mike
the
Vrabel.
Thing. Well, Vrabel is probably the leading candidate right now, even over Belichick. But how about John Harbaugh in Baltimore, considering they lost every running back before the season, and they're still sitting there at 7-3? It is a worthy discussion among the many things that we can pick up with our guy Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston, who will join us here at the top of the hour, coming to you live from the Best Yet Private Brand Studios. We are here at Howl at the Moon at Patriot Place. We're right beside Gillette Stadium. They're about to open the doors and throw them open on this cold, late November day where the Patriots will take on the Tennessee Titans at 1:00. We'll break it all down with Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston after the top of the hour.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.